download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watt.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Might be the first and last time you ever hear Megadeth on this station. But there's a purpose, of course, because we have the great Dave Wedge, author extraordinaire, joining us. Dave, what's going on?
Kevin, how are you?
Pretty good. I thought I would play a little Holy Wars coming in.
It's nice to hear. You know, my your listeners know I had a long history of Monday Night Talk with Senator Hedlund. Yep. And we used to, Mayor Hedlund now, and we used to often, my intro music was Iron Maiden, and we used to talk a lot about metal, so it's appropriate. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, and a great job to Larry as he mixed that in, and we did it for a specific reason, and this, it isn't just necessarily because Dave is a metalhead, but yet another significant death in 2016. It's like every time you turn around, there's somebody significant who is dying. This time around, Nick Menza. After the third song of his set.
Well, we're not getting any younger, Kevin. First of all, so it's the baby boomers have gone through this and they're still going through it with their icons are passing away left and right. And, you know, now it's happening to Generation X, you know, and it's just, we're in our, you know, 30s, 40s, and unfortunately the rock star lifestyle isn't conducive to a long lifespan in a lot of cases. But, you know, Nick Menza, you know, he was really the lineup that was the most successful run that Megadeth had, which was in the late 80s, early 90s, yep. When they, you know, they had Countdown to Extinction was their biggest album. And the big hit was Symphony of Destruction. They had a big video for that, and the album went double platinum. He was the drummer on that. He was the drummer on Rust in Peace and Euthanasia, and one more. So four albums. So he was really there through the band's commercial peak. And also, it happened to be one of the best times in history to sell records because MTV had just come out. And it gave this new advertising platform to sell records. And Megadeth was a huge beneficiary of that because that album, Countdown to Extinction, debuted at number 2 on Billboard. And that was largely due to the fact that they had a video that came out for Symphony of Destruction that was an amazing video and really sold that record with little to no radio airplay. So those were the days when you could do that. You could put out a great video, sell a million or 2 million records, and really get no radio play. Those days are obviously long gone, but you know, it's too bad. Dave Mustaine gave a big send off to him this weekend. He played at a big festival in New York, the Rock and Derby Festival, and he went on stage and you know, saluted him. And one fun fact about him that some of your listeners might enjoy, even those that aren't metal fans, was Nick Menza's dad was a guy named Don Menza, who was a famous jazz saxophonist who actually played with Henry Mancini and was one of the guys who played the Pink Panther theme.
So that's a little
fun fact.
Well, it's funny you mention that, is because I guess as a part of talking about this and putting it out there, one of the things that Dave had mentioned was that Nick had a very powerful jazzy flair. As he was unpredictable and always entertaining. From what I understand, some of the stuff that I'm reading was that he was a tech for them at one time or another.
Yeah, you know how in that world, a lot of those guys go from band to band, and they, you know, if you look at the history of Megadeth, I mean, so many great players. I mean, Slash almost played with them at one point. Dimebag Darrell was almost a guitar player at one point. And Kerry King actually was from Slayer. He played with them for a little while. So, you know, there's a rotating cast of characters in that Bay Area thrash scene in the 80s and 90s that they really all, you know, they teamed up a lot. And when someone had a problem with one of their members, the other ones would step in.
Right. Well, we know with Dave Mustaine originally, I want to say he originally started out with
He was in Metallica.
He
was famous. The famous thing with Dave Mustaine is that he was such an alcoholic that he got kicked out of Metallica, which at the time was known for their prodigious alcohol consumption and was known in metal circles as Alcoholica.
Right.
That was their nickname. And and to get kicked out of that band for drinking, you got to be pretty bad. So, but if you look at, again, you look at the oral history of Megadeth, and Dave Mustaine is an amazing example of resilience. He had his problems in the 80s and 90s, got in a really bad car accident, had some drug arrests, and then got himself sober in the 90s, and he's been sober ever since. And he's had some of his greatest successes in his life completely sober. And I actually had the good fortune to interview him a few years back. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember that.
I did a piece for the Herald, and there's actually a video online if people want to Google it, Dave Wedge and Dave Mustaine. You can find that interview, and it was great to meet him. He's a really good guy, and a very political guy too. And he's not the politics that you would think for a metal guy. He's not quite Ted Nugent, but he's in that conversation. He's a George Bush guy, that's for sure.
Oh my God, you just like read my mind. So I was going to ask if he was in that realm, and you answered the question.
Yeah, he's definitely a George Bush guy. He's like, you know, not a lefty at all. I wouldn't say he's like Ted Nugent. He's not far, far right, but he's definitely he's definitely a Republican, that's for sure.
Okay. And didn't he also suffer some kind of a paralysis with his hand for a short time?
He did, yeah. So I actually went and saw the Big Four concert down in New York back, I think it was in like maybe 2010 or 11. And that the Big Four is the four biggest thrash bands of all time, which is Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, and Megadeth.
Yep.
And they're the four that are credited with kind of launching the speed metal thrash genre. And they did a reunion tour, the four of them, at Yankee Stadium a few years back. And that was during the time where Dave Mustaine had some sort of problem with his hand, where it was paralysis. And he also had a really bad neck injury. And, you know, when you're banging your head and thrashing around on stage, a lot of people don't think about it. But, you know, like the guys in Slipknot, those guys are like professional athletes with the injuries that they have, you know? So it takes a toll on your body.
Good to know. Well, that wasn't the original, just so folks know, the original reason for Dave being on wasn't necessarily the whole Nick Menza thing. I mean, it just happened. So we're like, let's go with it and let's talk a little bit about it. So, because Dave is one of those guys he's cover to cover. If Dave wanted to, at one particular time, wanted to write for the Boston Herald doing a sports beat, he could. He's capable of doing, I mean, even a food column. I don't know if Kerry Byrne would let you do that, but I'm sure you could even talk food if you wanted to.
No, I appreciate that. I try to be, you know, it's one thing my parents taught me growing up was try to be well-rounded, and I always have tried to do that. I've just never tried to box myself in, and, you know, maybe I don't do anything great, but I do a lot of things pretty good, and I like to, you know, I like to learn a lot about different things, you know, different cultures and arts and everything, news, politics, you name it, music.
Well, we know
that's why I enjoyed talking to you, Kevin, because you're a Renaissance man yourself.
I have my moments. I definitely do. I definitely do. I got to tell you, it's been hard watching hockey this year, but I got to tell you, if there's one team I'm pulling for, there's two teams I'm pulling for. I'm pulling for the Lightning, and I'm actually kind of pulling for Joey Thornton and the Sharks.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on the Sharks, but I'm actually pulling for the Penguins.
I bet you.
Because I like Sidney Crosby, and obviously... I like Phil Kessel.
Kessel.
I think Kessel's great, and they have a couple of BC guys. They have Brian DeMoulin,
yep.
The BC guy, scored a big goal last night, but they ended up losing the game. I think it's two great series going on right now. And I'm with you, though. I'd love to see Joe Thornton win a cup. I mean, he's had one of the most incredible NHL careers ever,
yep.
And he's first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. He's top 10 in scoring this year, and he's 41 years old, you know? And
Is he really 41?
I believe he's 41, yeah. 40 or 41. But, you know, he's playing phenomenal, and he's one of the top scorers in the playoffs. He's a setup man, and the only thing really missing from his resume is a cup, you know?
He's definitely due.
Well, I love it. Well, he's got a good team this year.
He does. Let's see if they can get by the Blues. The Blues look like they want to get into the dance, too.
So they got game five tonight, is that right?
I think so, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yep.
Something to watch for. Other things to watch for real quick. We should talk about a couple of things that you're coming up. I believe a good friend of ours, and I just mentioned him a few minutes ago, Kerry Byrne, Didn't he put together a little bit of an event that you and Casey Sherman are going to be a part of at the Alba?
He did. Well, I guess, you know, the city of Quincy is really excited because they were lucky enough to have a couple of movies filmed there. Yep. One is The Finest Hours, which the book for that one was written by Casey and his co-author, Michael Tugas. Casey's good Marshfield guy, as everyone knows, your listeners, they had him on many times.
Yep.
And then they also filmed some scenes from Patriots Day in Quincy, which is they used our book, Boston Strong, for that movie. So it's been quite an experience to be a part of, and the city of Quincy is very excited about the fact that two movies were filmed in their city. So Kerry teamed up with Alba and the mayor of Quincy, and they're throwing an event to kind of celebrate the Hollywood coming to Quincy, and they invited Casey and I there to talk about our books.
Yeah,
we're excited.
This is taking place Tuesday, June 7th from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Alba, located at Hancock Street.
Right on Hancock Street, right in downtown Quincy, and it's a fundraiser for the Heather Abbott Foundation. Heather Abbott is one of the survivors of the bombings who was one of the main figures in our book, and she's got a great charity what her charity does is they raise money to donate prosthetic limbs to people that can't afford them. And you'd be surprised how many people lose limbs to, you know, disease and accidents. And, you know, they don't have the benefit of being in the newspaper like all the marathon folks and mm-hmm. getting the attention. So they're kind of left alone to their own devices. And health insurance only covers so much. It covers like the basic prosthetic limb, but not the really good ones that can help you to get back to a normal life. So her charity helps these folks get the, you know, higher tech, really high quality limbs that they so much need.
Now, from what I'm looking at the press release here, is they're actually making cocktails out of, actually there's going to be the Finest Hours cocktail and a Patriots Day cocktail.
Yeah, so Alba's got some great, you know, mixologists and bartenders there, and they're going to be making some cocktails and desserts and dishes inspired by both films. And, you know, Finest Hours was really an almost entirely Quincy production. They shot a lot in Chatham as well and down the Cape, but the main bulk of that movie was filmed right in Quincy in the old shipyard,
right.
the old Herb Chambers property. And Casey actually brought me to the set while they were filming, and a lot of your listeners were probably either down at that set as extras or were extras in some form. It's funny, every time we do a book signing, whether it's for Boston Strong or for The Finest Hours, we run into people who are like, oh, I was an extra in The Finest Hours. And so it's a real community thing, and it's you know, Kerry's idea for this event was really that. You know, it's a community celebration of being proud of something that was filmed there in that city, and so many people got to be a part of it. And, you know, with Patriots Day, you know, Ginger Betty's got a chance to be a big part of that movie. That's a little bakery there in Quincy. They made Patriots Day cookies, and they were on the news, and they supplied the cast and crew with pizzas during the filming there in Quincy. So when these movies come to Massachusetts, they bring a lot of business, and they bring a lot of pride to the community, and everyone gets involved. And that's really what this event about is celebrating the fact that these great movies were filmed right there in Quincy.
Can you give us any small details in regards to watching what's going on with Patriots Day filming? Have you had a chance to get a bird's eye view of any of this?
Yeah, I really can't talk about the movie at all, to be honest with you. It's because, you know, they're still in production. But I can just say that, you know, great director, great cast, and I think everyone's going to be proud of what they see when this movie comes out. You know, much like they were with The Finest Hours. I think, you know, anyone that saw The Finest Hours, it's an excellent movie, excellent book, and they really got it right. And I think you'll see the same thing here with Patriots Day.
You probably can't tell me this. You say, I know what the answer is going to be, but I want to just throw it out there just to be funny. Do you get kind of like a Stan Lee-esque gratuitous cameo or no?
No, I'm not in the movie. I'm like we've talked about before, Kevin. My wife is beautiful, but I got a face for radio, and you know, that's the way it is.
Okay. So,
no, I'm not. I don't have the acting bug. I'm a writer, and, you know, I enjoy the whole process of, you know, the creative process. But I don't want to do that. I could see Casey doing that more than me. Casey's an extra in The Finest Hours, so. he was in one of the scenes in that. There's a big ballroom scene, and Casey's one of the extras in that. But
I could see it. I totally could see it.
He's got that Alfred Hitchcock streak. Yep. I could see him doing it, but not me. I'm content just being part of the team.
Again, just to remind folks, Alba Restaurant coming up June 7th, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. and you'll get a chance to see Dave and Casey Sherman. I believe you're gonna do some autographing copies of
yeah,
books.
Yeah, we'll be signing books. We'll be talking about our books. We'll be answering questions about the books. Both of them, Finest Hours and Boston Strong. And you know, if people want to learn more about it, if they can't remember it right now, they can just go to Facebook, go to my page. It's just Dave Wedge or Casey Sherman, or they can also go to the Alba Facebook page and get all the information about it. It's Alba, A-L-B-A, in Quincy.
Okay. And let's also remind folks that of other book signings. I believe you got another book signing coming up on June 10th at the Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, that's right. You know, Father's Day is coming up, so big time for people to buy books. So we'll be over at the Braintree Barnes & Noble signing copies of Boston Strong and the Finest Hours. And we do these things from time to time. It's just a good way to get out and meet people interested in the books, and it's a nice gift for someone that you loved either one of those either book or was interested in those topics.
All right. What else are you working on right now? I know you got a couple of irons in the fire, right?
Yeah. So Casey and I, obviously we had a great partnership for Boston Strong, and the book has been quite a journey, and to see the film come into fruition has been amazing. So we definitely want to work together again. And the next one that we're starting on right now is the Pete Frates life story, which is Pete Frates is the BC baseball player who was stricken with ALS. And he, instead of, just kind of conceding defeat, he started the Ice Bucket Challenge, him and his family and another ALS patient. And now, everyone knows the Ice Bucket Challenge. It's gone extremely viral, and it's raised $220 million, making it the biggest social media phenomenon in history. So it's really been incredible to watch. And the family wants to tell Pete's story, and they talked to Casey and I about doing it. So we're just embarking on that journey. So it's another one of those stories, much like Finest Hours and much like Boston Strong, where it's got those themes of overcoming incredible obstacles and hope and resilience and the human spirit. Those are kind of the stories that Casey and I look for when we want to write books,
What have you learned from the book writing process that you're looking forward to applying for this book and any future books?
Well, I think just, really embedding yourselves with the people that are involved. And part of why, I'm a Boston College alum, and that's part of what drew me to the story, and also what drew the Frates to me. I mean, they're a true BC family, and when they found out I was an alum, I think they liked that. And we all like to make fun of Casey because he went to BU. But BC is a big family, yep. and there is a connection there that we all feel, and we like that. And much like with Boston Strong, Casey and I, we went on that incredible trip to France that we've talked about on these airwaves before, where we went with a bunch of the marathon survivors to France. And that's really how we met a lot of these folks and got to know them so that they would feel comfortable sharing their stories with us. And that's the same thing Casey did with the Finest Hours, and that's what I do whatever I work on, is try to get as close to these folks as you can, and that's what it's going to be all about. And that's really what makes great books, is to really just embed yourself and focus 100% on that subject matter so you can really just drill down and get to the essence of it.
How much of the political scene are you missing? Are you paying attention to what's going on in regards to the presidential primaries right now?
Enough. I'm not involved in it as I was, I'm not invested in it like I was when I was at the Herald covering politics, but I'm still involved in politics a little. As I do some advising and some consulting, and do some work with some different, elected leaders around Massachusetts. So definitely watching closely, and, it's quite a spectacle, to say the least.
What are you thinking about this year? I don't know how much you can say or speak on it, but, it looks like Bernie is going to stay in it to the very last caucus or primary, and maybe he might go third party, and People are already downing Donald Trump. What are we in for this summer?
That's a good question. If I knew the answer to that, I'd probably be able to make some money. But
yeah.
I mean, really, it's. I mean, the Bernie Sanders thing. I understand he's not conceding. I understand why he's not conceding. He has, you know, he has dedicated followers that wanted to play out the string. I respect that. You know, but at the same time, you know, he's got a. I don't know. It's kind of old politics versus new. I mean, the old political ways. Well, there's no way he can win. She's got the nomination, so you're only hurting her going into the general. So why don't you drop out and throw your support behind her? That's the old way of doing things. Bernie Sanders, that's not what his campaign's about. That's never what it's been about.
Right.
In fact, it's about the opposite. It's about not doing things the way they've always been done and challenging convention. And literally challenging convention in this case, where he's going to, you know, stay right in it until the convention and make as much noise as he can and try and show the support he has and show why the system needs fixing. And that's his goal. On the other side, you know, I mean, I don't see any way that Trump doesn't get the nomination. You know, he's seems, you know, it's pretty clear that he's got it. So, but that said, I mean, there is this movement to kind of have a fractured convention and challenge his nomination. So I think we could be in for lawyers. I think we could be in. We're certainly in for media saturation. That's no doubt, you know. It's going to be interesting to watch. It's certainly not like any presidential race that I've ever seen in my lifetime.
See, the one thing that makes me curious is if we're going to see a third party run from somebody, if somebody is going to get in late in the game, maybe, like you said, maybe Bernie, if Bernie isn't able to get the nod, maybe he goes, I go third party. Maybe he doesn't.
Well, we've got this, you know, Libertarian Party, you know, Gary Johnson with the Bill Weld.
Oh, yeah.
Vice president.
Yeah.
That's a formidable ticket. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not, with all due respect, it's not Jill Stein. You know, it's nothing to sniff at. I mean, Gary Johnson is the sitting governor of a large state,
right.
You know, New Mexico. Bill Weld is certainly a formidable force that can draw from both parties. He can draw, you know, I mean, look at, he won easily in Massachusetts. And then, you know, he has a strong following in New York. He's, you know, he could bring some votes to the table. They're not going to win, but they could certainly impact the general election, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's funny, you know, you mentioned Bill Weld. I actually did an interview with him. I want to say it was maybe like 4 or 5 weeks ago. It might have been longer than that. It might have been like 2 months ago, where he was backing John Kasich. He was like, John Kasich's going to be the GOP nominee. I'm like, really? He goes, oh, yeah. It's okay.
Well, John Kasich is a very, very similar type of candidate,
yep,
to Bill Weld. You know, very moderate Republican, you know, socially moderate, fiscal conservative. And that's the kind of candidate that a lot of people want right now. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that, you know, if that Johnson-Weld ticket takes off at all.
Anything in closing, my friend? Anything we haven't touched upon, but you want to make sure you tell our listeners while we have you on?
No, I hope you can make it out to Alba, obviously, Kevin, and I'd love to have you there as a guest. And
absolutely,
any of your listeners that want to come would love to have you. And I would just urge all your listeners, you know, as they, you know, prepare for this movie to come out and, you know, read our book, to think about the people that were impacted and to search out charities that are involved. You know, this particular event, we happen to be supporting Heather Abbott's charity, but there's many other ones. You know, Sean Collier's family's got,
yep,
a charity. Crystal Campbell. There's obviously the MR8 fund. There's one for Lingzi Liu. And then there's other ones out there, too, for different, you know, folks that have been injured and things like that. So my biggest thing with all of this has been, you know, let's support these folks who lost their lives and their families, as well as the people that were injured, any way we can. And no gesture is too small, really, to try and help. So,
amen. Definitely amen. Well, as always, it's always great to have you on. And hopefully, maybe in the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, we'll try to get you back in studio.
I will. Sorry I couldn't make it down tonight, but have a great night. Thanks, Kevin.
Good. There he is. Dave Wedge, author, Boston Strong, and many more projects in the works. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.